welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. A passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. This is something that Jesus spoke, called the Sermon on the Mount, part of that great sermon. And he said this. He said, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Now, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." This is a scripture that has always fascinated me, because it really speaks of a condition. You know, first of all, if your eyes, we know that if you light up a room, you can see everything. If your eye is single, he's saying, if your eyes is healthy, in other words, you've got your eye looking in the right direction spiritually, healthy-wise, you're going to be able to see stuff. But if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What does that speak to? It speaks to a possibility that we can be deceived. We can be self-deceived. We can think we have light on something, but if it's really darkness, it's a deep darkness, because we're giving ourselves to it, because we think it's light. And this can be the problem with being self-deceived in different areas and different situations. Of course, we know we live in a world that loves to talk about light and being enlightened and being in enlightenment and all that kind of stuff, using the word light. But we also know that if the light they think they have in them is really darkness, how great is that darkness? You can see a lot of the corruption and stuff that happens to people who believe with all their heart they are enlightened. And so we can clearly see in the world where there's this false sense of light that leads to darkness. But Jesus is talking to us here. He's saying this is something that we have to be aware of too. Because if what we think we're doing is right, but it's really not right, then we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some issues. What does the scripture say? It says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you're going to have the spirit reap life. But if you're over here sowing to the flesh, really believing you're doing the right thing, deceived, you're going to be reaping. You're going to think you're over here, but you're going to be reaping the corruption of the flesh. It's kind of a confusing situation. It's possible where we can find these, and this is simply what I'm calling, is checking your blind spot. We can have sometimes blind spots in our Christian walk. And I've had these blind spots, and this is how I can tell when I've hit a blind spot. When I believe I'm over here. I believe I'm doing the right thing. I believe I'm so into the Spirit. I believe, but it's like spiritually I'm just, you know, it's, you know, 3 months from now or 5 months from now when it's snow and ice and you're trying to get out of your driveway and your tires are spinning. I'm hitting the gas, but I'm not going anywhere. I believe I'm just following after God, but it's like, boy, the influence and maybe the voice in your head and just the frustration, it's like they should be going away by now. I'm just telling you about me. Situations where I've had to cry out to God and say, Lord, I believe I'm over here. And the psalmist said, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. We've got to have the humility to realize as human beings that we can have these blind spots from time to time. One of the first things that we find out about Satan and right away in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, it says, now Satan was more subtle than any creature. So these blind spots are not going to be blaring things. They're going to be subtle things. Subtle things that we can give a pass to and just not realize we're doing it. And we keep sowing to the flesh and kind of wonder why. Why? Because we can get in some areas where the light that we think we have is really darkness. And sometimes these can be great breakthroughs in our Christian walk, great breakthroughs. But it takes God to expose a blind spot. You don't know what you don't know. There's a sincerity, but it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to say, wow, that's not right. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You know, I remember once when I was dealing with some knee pain when I'd be running, and it was like I'd be running for a while, but then it would seem like after a few weeks, I would just keep re-injuring my knee, and I just couldn't figure out why. No matter how light I would run or how restricted, it would seem to happen. And one time I realized that when I was stretching out, I was just kind of doing like, you know, one of these calf stretches like this, but it was like I just got aware I actually was hyperextending my own knee. You know, after you run and you're just all invigorated, you can just really stretch things sometimes and not realize the pain you're causing yourself. And it's like, oh, wow. And it's like, just don't stretch it that hard. And it was like, then my knee problem went away. I wasn't meaning to. I didn't want to hyperextend my knee, but it was just a subtle little thing that I was doing. And there can be, again, some of these, I'm just calling them blind spots that we get that we've got to be aware of, because these can be some really big just make or break things as you begin to see them and become aware of them. And so here's a couple examples that I just want to get into as far as checking your blind spot. There's fleshly blind spots that we can have. We know we deal with the flesh world and the devil. There are some specific fleshly blind spots. We've talked this about a couple of years ago. I did a sermon called an expose on the middle flesh. So there's blind spots that we have in what we're calling the middle flesh. I'll just kind of give a quick little review of what that is about. As you look at Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you don't do the things that you wish. You don't do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He goes on to tell us what he means by the flesh. He gets very graphic specific here. He said, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's being very specific here about what he means by the flesh, okay? And we look at that list and we kind of go over that list and, you know, maybe some things where you're doing all right and some things might convict you, different things like that. But it's a broad spectrum as you look at this list of the flesh. Now, as we look at this list, I kind of broke it out into some different tiers in the order that he states a few things. You know, the top tier is kind of what we call classic flesh. That's the stuff that you think of probably right off the bat when you think of flesh stuff. Adultery. What is that? Sexual promiscuity related to marriage, real or imagined. Fornication. Any sexual promiscuity, kind of more of a general category. Uncleanness, it's a sexual impurity, nudity, promiscuity, medias, things like that. Stuff that would be unclean, stuff that would just, you can tell it affects your heart, affects your mind, your conscience, stuff like that. Lewdness, it's just sexual perversion, basically just trying to use sexual highs and stimulations, a lot of different forms of different sexual perversions. That's lewdness, that's a work of the flesh. Idolatry is a natural or created objects worshipped as a deity. Covetousness, greed, food, things like that. You know, you think idolatry. You'll notice a lot of times in the New Testament, they link covetousness with idolatry. You know, we kind of look back at the person worshiping the rock, and we think, wow, how could anybody be so dumb to worship a rock, an inanimate object? And yet, you know, you lose your phone for about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden you're hot and sweaty and saying, where is that? Oh, thank you, thank you. You're back. We just can't understand, can we, in this 2021 we live in. But a lot of times, you know, idolatry can be of just those things that'll distract, you know, covetousness, financial stuff, money, just going after money and greed, it becomes that form of just all-consuming. In fact, that original passage we looked at, Jesus said, you know, a man can't serve two masters. You're going to love one or hate the other. And so that can be just this, or food, you know, obviously we've got to eat, but food can be a distraction where we're just, you know, the comfort food and things like that to where it's just I've got to have that. I've just got to, you know, where it's really these things are a distraction that are trying to fill something that God wants to have. Sorcery, drug addiction. So when we look at a lot of this stuff, sorcery actually in the original Greek was pharmakeia. So we get our word pharmacy from it. So a lot of times the different stimulants and stuff that we'll take to try to get that high, to try to get that distraction, things like that. So we look at this kind of list, this top tier. These are the first six things he mentions, all right? And then the last three things he mentions, the bottom tier, all classic flesh too. Murders, the taking of a life of one another, real or imagined. Jesus said if you're just wanting to murder somebody in your heart, you know, you've crossed lines in your heart that are not okay. Drunkenness, just intoxication, revelries, or just drinking parties. So we think of the flesh, a lot of times this is what we think of, all right? These are the big deals. These are the things as Christians, you know, we're just endeavoring to overcome, to not engage in. We realize that stuff is flesh, and we call it out as flesh, all right? But sandwiched in between these two categories of flesh that we're calling classic flesh is this thing I'm just calling the middle flesh, and it's these things. Hatred, which is an intense dislike. Contentions, contest or quarrel. Jealousies, fear of losing something or someone you have. Outbursts of wrath, display of extreme anger. I know these sound self-evident, but I'm just going to keep going through them here. Selfish ambitions, consumed with one's own interests, benefits, welfare. You know, not really caring what anybody else is doing. Dissensions is disagreement that leads to discord, that can break a relationship or, you know, break fellowship. You know, we can all have disagreements, but not all disagreements end up in dissension that would break it. Heresies, sect, a party, political spirit. That's that political party, that sectarian spirit, my little group that we've got it. And, you know, you can kind of feel that vibe. That's where it really, you know, everything that little group does is right no matter what. And the other group does is wrong no matter what. There's really no objectivity. It's just kind of a party spirit. That's a work of the flesh. Envy is wanting somebody or something that someone else has. It's desiring something that somebody else has, to envy what they have. So these are what we're calling the middle flesh, all right? Now, a lot of times when we're dealing with this kind of stuff, this is relationship stuff. This is people stuff. This is the stuff that you're dealing with that is not fun, you know? But and a lot of times what happens is when we're dealing with this stuff, we'll use this stuff to medicate this stuff, okay? We're going through this stuff, you know, and instead of dealing with some of this stuff, we try to get distractions in the what we call the classic flesh, all right? And so, but what's the deal here? This is where it's problematic because it's subtle. We treat this as flesh. Oops. We treat this stuff as flesh, you know? If there was to be, you know, some drugs, you know, I wouldn't wonder if that's flesh or not. I would know that's flesh. If it was, you know, something that was, you know, clearly ungodly just in front of me, I would just know that, okay, that's flesh, that's not right. But the problem is we don't treat this stuff as flesh a lot of times, this stuff. These are our problems. These are the things that we, you know, these are my issues. These are my problems. But it's important to understand that we have to, within our problems, within our situations, within our relationship issues, we've still got to be able to see the flesh in the problems. You still have to call out flesh as flesh. Because you can be over here saying, wow, I'm doing good. I'm checking these boxes here, you know? But yet I'm still full of the anger, the pain, the frustration, stuff like that. What's going on here? What's going on here? We're talking about checking your blind spot. You've got to check some of these spots. You've got to check some things and make sure that you're not giving a pass to certain things, to certain attitudes that we have in our heart. Hatred, quarrel, fear. It's flesh. These attitudes, this middle flesh, the thing that this flesh has in common with this, they have, you know, if you remember math and the common denominator, all of these things have the same common denominator. It's all flesh. But if we don't treat this as flesh, we're going to have a blind spot. I don't drink. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not, you know, I'm not killing anybody. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm dotting my I's. I'm checking my boxes. But yet, there's darkness, and there's not joy, and there's not peace in my life. I've got my problems, but this is where we're going to have to be able to call some stuff out and call out the flesh as flesh. It's not okay, and this is where, like I said, I've had to be honest with myself, say, you know, Lord, there's some stuff going on here. There's some stuff I'm living on top of. Lord, help me. Help me to see what this is. Help me to deal with this. Help me to call it out as flesh in my life. So one of the things that we've got to realize, in the same way it's all flesh, the promise that we have in the Spirit is true as well, too. I'm just going to jump ahead here. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, for they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In the same way all those things have a common denominator of the flesh, all those things are beatable by the Spirit. That means in the same way I don't have to just be bound to these things, I don't have to be bound to these things either. I'm talking about blind spots. You know, if you're driving your car, and you're just saying, oh, I don't think there's any traffic, I can make that lane change. You might be right. 9 times out of 10. But it's that 10th time. It's not what you think. What do you have to do? You have to physically look and say, okay, there's nobody there. Now I can make that lane change. Because you know you have a blind spot. You have to stop and take the time and look and say, nope. Okay, it's clear. Oh, boy, I'm glad I checked. Have you ever done that? Where you thought, oh, I'm so glad I checked my blind spot. I'm glad I was trained in my driver's ed class to check my blind spot. Because there have been times I was sure there's nobody there. Wow, there was somebody there. Praise God. Check the blind spot. We realize that our vision is limited. And this is where the Word is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word exposes blind spots that we don't see with our natural thinking. Because a lot of times, according to our calculations, we think we're doing pretty good when we let other stuff stay in and we keep reaping of the flesh and just wondering why I'm not getting the traction. But you got to call out flesh as flesh. All right? I'm not saying this as condemnation this morning. Like I said, I've done with this. I've been around this mountain many times myself. But this is where I've gotten free. This is where I've had breakthrough. Where I'm not looking at what everybody else thinks and I'm trying to check my boxes so everybody thinks I'm a good Christian. Forget that. Throw that out the door. Lord, is this stuff in my heart? Am I letting this stuff stay in there? Lord, I want to get free from this. I want this gone. I want to put this stuff to death too, the same way as the other stuff, the classic stuff. And so we see some basic promises from the Word. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, classic flesh, not in lewdness and lust, another category, and not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What's he talking about? He's talking about revelry and drunkenness. He's talking about lewdness and lust. Amen, amen. But he's also talking about strife and envy. He's talking about these attitudinal heart things. He wants us to be free. And there's a checking of the blind spot that we have to do sometimes. And again, I'm just saying, if it's sometimes it feels like you're stuck, check your blind spot. There may be some of these things here that we're allowing to live on top of. Finally, this is a passage in Romans. The Apostle Paul says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. I love that. We have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. Do you know the problem with that middle flesh stuff is you feel an obligation to this stuff. You don't feel an obligation to this stuff, but you feel an obligation to this stuff. We make no provision for the flesh. We got to call out flesh. Just got to be honest about it. We got to call flesh what the Bible calls flesh, not what modern Christianity calls flesh, not what the world calls flesh. The world doesn't hardly identify or recognize there is a flesh, but what God's word calls flesh. I got to realize that there's some stuff here that's wrong. You know, the thing about the flesh is whether it's this flesh or this flesh, they have other things in common. They're all addictive. They're addictive. They get you, and you just have to keep going back for more. That's the way the flesh is. It's never satisfied. It's addictive, and this stuff is addictive too. This stuff is just as addictive as the other thing. Not only are they both addictive, all these things in the flesh are addictive, but they all work the same. They all work the same way, the nature of the flesh. You see stuff out here, think, oh, that drugs and the alcohol or you know pornography, different things like that. You'd call that out as classic flesh. But this works exactly like pornography. This is spiritual pornography. How does pornography work? Natural pornography. There's going to be some kind of sexual image to get your gaze to stimulate an appetite. That's how this works. Satan's going to come, he's going to replay that old hurt over and over, that movie, so you can gaze at that movie and stimulate those appetites. That's how it works. The flesh works the same way. He's going to put something in front of your face. Again, I'm talking about spiritual now here. There's a natural physical pornography, which is a physical thing that you're looking at. But there's a spiritual version of that is what I'm saying, where that image, that movie is playing in your head. That dirty movie is playing in your head to stir up those appetites in your flesh. If you're going to be honest about checking your blind spot and you're frustrated about some things, I'm not saying I hope you're free in every area, great. But I'm just saying if there's some things, like this is where I've had to check, am I living on top of this? Am I spiritualizing this? That's really what Paul and James and John did. When they said, Jesus, should we call fire down on these Samaritans? They were just convinced, you know, we're going to consume these guys. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Hatred. They had an intense dislike for Samaritans, and they even spiritualized it. And we can be tempted to spiritualize stuff too. And it's not that we've got to problem solve this. We can't problem solve this. Do you understand? It's not that I've got to work through every one of these things. The Bible doesn't say work through your flesh and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. These things are complicated. These things will have you on a lifetime merry-go-round. God knew that. There is nothing special about me or about you or my complicated mess or your complicated mess. They all have the same thing in common. When we walk in the Spirit, will put to death the deeds of the body. That's what the promise that we have in the he says in Romans here too. He says, beloved, we have no more obligation to the claims. We have no more obligation to live in obedience to it. We can put to death the deeds of the body by walking in the Spirit. That means not, again, not just this stuff, but this stuff. To where that voice, these things have a voice. Have you noticed that? There's a voice of hatred that will interrupt your thoughts. There's a voice of jealousy, contentions, outbursts of wrath. Again, kind of said it before, this is subtle stuff. You know, if you're coming off other stuff, it's like, oh man, I'd really like to get a drink. I'd really want to, you know, gamble. I really want to, you know, do some stuff like that. You understand that classic stuff. You know, you're not going down and thinking, oh, I'd really like an outburst of wrath right now. You know? You don't think like that, but there's something in you that does. There can even be, let me just say this. You could even resolve some of these things and still be addicted to stuff and where things are really pretty okay, but you're kind of feeling fidgety and wondering what's going on. I don't know. I'm going to watch some news. All right, that'll get me riled up. There's something in here that wants to get fed. Sometimes you have imagined issues because there's flesh that wants to get fed, that just wants to get stirred up, just wants to fight. That's flesh. Got to call it out as flesh. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It means I'm not fighting all the time. It means I'm at peace. Listen, saying what I hear the Father say, I'm doing what I see the Father do. Life and peace. That's what produces when you're spiritually minded. But you get into this stuff, and a lot of times we just give a pass to this, or we spiritualize it. And we got to realize, man, there is a victory for this. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Are there going to be times when you're going to confront things? Yeah, there will be times when you confront some of this stuff right here. As you're walking in the Spirit, what does Galatians 6:1 says? If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, now you who are spiritual, go to one in such a spirit of meekness. Again, James and John weren't spiritual when they wanted to call down fire on those Samaritans. But what will God do? He'll have you walk in the Spirit to where you get spiritual, to where you can confront things in a spirit of meekness. You understand? If that's the answer. But over here, I'm trying to find the answer. Here, I'm trusting that He's going to give me the answer. There's a big difference. When it's self-seeking, the pressure's on me to crack the code. When it's God-seeking, I have a peace that passes my understanding in the meantime. And He'll show me what I need to know when I need to know it. I'll get the understanding when I need it. But the important thing to realize is this stuff that we're so intimidated by internally, it's all crucifiable. You can put this to death as much as the classic stuff. But this is the subtle stuff. This is the subtle stuff. And how do you do? You know, you go work by work of the flesh. It's going to come down. We'll kind of get to more of it as we go on. I'm just going to finish up here with just a final point. There's fleshly blind spot, there's demonic blind spots, okay? And that's what we're simply calling checking the wisdom. He who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Think of that. Glory not. Don't be proud. Don't be excited. Don't go, aha. He says, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But isn't it interesting about how demonic wisdom works that way? It works in a way that makes you feel like you're getting a revelation. Because you're thinking, well, I didn't think that up. That just popped in my head. You're right. You didn't think that up. It did just pop into your head. But that doesn't mean it's God. But it makes sense. Still doesn't mean it's God. You got to check it out. If you have bitter envy and strife, that does not descend from, it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. And that's kind of a test, that confusion in every evil work. I feel like I'm over here, but man, I feel like I'm still in confusion in every work. Lord, show me if I've got any blind spots. Again, this is not an internal witch hunt that I'm trying to find fault and condemn myself. This is an honest intention to go forward and say, Father, I want to clear. If I've got light that is in me that is really darkness, then expose, let your word be a lamp unto my feet. My heart is to clear out any flesh, any demonic influences from my mind. You know, I want to walk right. But what does he go on to say? What does good wisdom sound like? The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. No partiality, no hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Isn't that amazing what the wisdom of God? When you hold out for the wisdom of God, and you finally do get a revelation to confront some things, your wisdom will have no partiality and it will have no hypocrisy. A lot of times it's the things that the enemy plays in our head. It's like a la carte picking certain things and creating this movie that you're the good guy and they're the bad guy and you've done nothing wrong and they're just... His wisdom has no partiality, it has no hypocrisy, and it's sown in peace. There's a peace to his wisdom and there's a clarity that's going to say, oh, wow, okay, I see it, yeah. Well, I could see how that would be taken like that. I could understand that. That's what his wisdom sounds like. Satan's wisdom sounds like strife, envy, confusion, and every evil work. But you'll notice again, it says, if you have that, glory not. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, and okay, that's what's in my heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth, this wisdom does not descend from above. So even though I'm feeling something, even though I'm stirred up, even though my passions are involved, it doesn't make it God. It's subtle. That's what I'm saying. And so what is that? That plays right into that middle flesh stuff too. That demonic wisdom. It's like a 1-2 punch. There's a work of the flesh, but then there's also that demonic influence, that spiritual side. And I remember when I was walking one day, just kind of doing a walk, a little exercise, and I noticed that there was some roadkill along the side of the road, and it was so full of flies, I couldn't tell what it was. It was just caked with flies. And I didn't even, you know, when it's that bad, you don't even want to figure out what it is. You just kind of go around and try to get it out of your mind. But I just remember as I was walking around that, that dead roadkill. I just got this really amazing prophetic insight in my head, and that's what the Lord spoke to me, this word, my roadkill revelation, and here it is. He said, Ed, if you get the roadkill out of your head, you won't have the flies in your face. See, the roadkill kind of represents our flesh, just our natural tendencies. The flies represent the powers and the principalities and all that other stuff. They're a one-two, but they play on each other. But when you put to death the deeds of the body, and the flies really have nothing to land on because you're not going there anymore, it's a lot harder when the roaring lion comes about for him to devour you because it's not as believable. I mean, when you got the roadkill in your head and you're meditating on those things and an enemy comes along, yeah, that all makes sense. Yeah. But you've just got a lot of flesh that's still around. It's just kind of that one-two punch. But when you just say, no, I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to walk in love, Lord, I'm going to do what you show me to do, and you put to death the deeds of those deeds, then Satan's just can come along and roar and hope you buy it because it doesn't have the same influence. But he has that demonic wisdom. He's going to play on the flesh. A lot of times people get weird and say, is it the flesh? Is it the devil? Boy, this seems like, I'll tell you what, whether it's the flesh or the devil, it's all going to register as thoughts in your head either way, right? Either way, it's going to register as that. And your job is to take thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, a lot of times, the Spirit of God will show you and help you know kind of intuitively. But what I do is I default, you know, flesh. I'll say, I'm going to get free from the flesh thing. If there's patterns of thought, there's flesh involved. You're used to thinking along a certain line. You know, there's a trigger and that brings you down, plays that movie. And like I said, it's like spiritual pornography. You're looking at that. It stimulates the anger. It stimulates the hatred. And then you're doing that. And so then it's like, okay, well, these are certain patterns of thought. And so I'm recognizing those patterns. I'm saying, no, in the name of Jesus, if you're dealing with the flesh, and say, you can always say, it is written. You're saying, when you say it is written, Jesus said it is written to the devil. But when you say it is written, it's like saying it is written to yourself and your flesh and the devil. And that's where it's powerful, when you can say, it is written, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Who am I saying that to? I'm saying that to me. I'm saying that to my own flesh, and I'm saying it to any demonic powers or principalities that are made present. It's not my job to have to perfectly discern what's what all the time. I'm just declaring the word over that. You're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Because that enemy, when it comes to the middle flesh, there's something that he is called, referred to famously. Then I heard a loud voice saying from heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. And the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. It's an accusing voice. And that's where that enemy, that's the demonic work of the enemy. His job, what he wants is accusation. That's his job. Flesh is the things that he'll play on. But ultimately, he's looking to accuse and accuse, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And this, of course, is the good news that we have. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We make no provision for the flesh, no provision for the flesh, and no place to the devil. What are we talking about? We're talking about checking your blind spot. Because we can check our big Christian boxes and feel like we're doing pretty good to have social acceptance in the Christian community because I'm not doing this and this and this and ah. But when you're serious about just living for God, it's not about checking boxes for social acceptance. It's about being free indeed, completely free. I'm giving no place to the devil. I'm making no provision for the flesh. I'm not going to sit here spinning my wheels because I've got it about 80% and letting that 20% come in and keep me in this dark place. No, I want the light that is within me to be light. I don't want any darkness. I don't want any self-deception of darkness to stay in there. And you can tell, you know, when there's those places in the olden days, back in the 70s, when we would do our teeth and dental hygiene, they would give us these red pills to chew on, and we'd have to swish around and spit it out. And you look in the mirror, and they'd say, okay, now wherever those red spots are still, that's where you got to brush more, you know? It's not all over your mouth. It's just spots in different spots. That's that 20%. That's where you got to brush more. And sometimes that's that way spiritually. When I'm in some of these dark places, it's like the Lord is saying, that's where you got to brush more. That's where you might have to forgive. You might have to declare the word. You might have to, but you want all the light that is in you to be true light. John says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. It's kind of the New Testament version of diligently keep your heart with all diligence. Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. You're keeping yourself. and the wicked one doesn't touch you. There's a keeping yourself. There's calling out flesh as flesh and declaring what the Word of God says in the face of that flesh and putting that to death in the name of Jesus. I'm not letting any little thing stop me. I'm not letting any little thing hold me back. And then finally, it's the great, I mean, to me, this is one of the great love passages in the Word of God too, right there up with 1 Corinthians 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. There's a putting on of stuff. When you're dealing with that middle flesh stuff and the accusations and the people and all that stuff, that's the incubation of deep victim complexes and hurt and things like that. I want you to understand. I want you to empathize. And, yes, I do. I know. I understand. I understand my own things. But I can tell you this. The thing that has gotten me free, the things that have gotten me out, is realizing that the Word is still the Word. And you're gonna go back to God and you're going to go back to doing what He shows you to do. And you're going to say, Lord, here I am. I want the light that is in me to be pure light. If there's anything that's dark in me, if there's anything that I'm giving a pass to, the world wants to give passes to stuff that are in your heart. That's why the scripture says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, because they want to keep that ungodly counsel in you. Blessed is the happy to be envied is the person whose God is the Lord, who you walk and you're following, walking in the light as He is in the light. You're following after Him. So there's going to be these decisions that we have. But that middle flesh stuff, it's produced. It can incubate a victim complex and bitterness and hatred, or it can be the great birthing place to love and learning love and walking in love and a powerful love that your faith can work by, where you're going to get free from your own egos, your own insecurities. There's a lot of stuff that gets burned off when you get free from that middle flesh stuff that is really powerful. This is intimate stuff between you and God. But that's the stuff that also brings traction to the other things spiritually that you want to do. Because a lot of time you're over here doing just enough, checking those boxes, but it just seems like you don't have traction because there's other stuff, blind spot stuff, that we're just kind of tolerating and living on top of. But these are the last days. These are the glorious days of the glorious church. And these are where we're being called to an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not looking at how they did it and that did it. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. How does it look in 2021? I don't care what's gone before as my perfect baseline and pattern. I want to know, I want to go for what you're calling me to go for, Lord. I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Not 80% to look good to check the box, but Lord, I want to get going forward. I want to do what you've called me to do. And so there's a checking your blind spot. There's two things that the sneaky devil, he is subtle, has. It's the fleshly blind spot, that middle flesh stuff, and then there's demonic blind spots where it's just like you get revelations that are not him, okay? And so what I just want to do this morning is I just want to go ahead and pray, and I just want to agree. And again, you got to take this message in the right spirit. You know, I don't mean this as condemnation or shaming. I want it to be one of those things that it's been in my life where it's like, oh, I'm ready to go on, Lord. If there is something holding me back, show me what that is. Show me what that blind spot is. This is no condemnation here, nothing that I haven't said this morning that I haven't gone through personally. So I know wherein I am speaking. So receive that in that spirit. In that spirit this morning. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And as we come before you, we know what you said, Jesus, when you were on this earth. You said that the eye is the lamp of the body. And that lamp can give that, when your eye is seeing clearly, your whole body's full of light. You can know where to go. You're not confused. But if the light that is in you is actually darkness, you're still confused. You still don't know. And so Father, that's our prayer this morning. If there are blind spots, things that we're tolerating, things that we're giving a pass to, we're ready to renew our mind in that area too. We're ready to change the way we think in that area too, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, make us aware if there's something that is not right, if there's something that's grieving your spirit, if there's something that doesn't line up with Scripture, go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is a lamp to my feet It's a light to my path. Shine in my heart. Shine in my mind. Remove from me anything that's not of you. I don't want to let anything stay in me. I don't want to spiritualize anything in me that's not of you. I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. Jesus, it's always been you. It always will be you. And I call you Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, kind of a little bit of a spiritual tune-up message, but sometimes these tune-ups can really help to find some things to make some hard adjustments. Now, as you're dealing with things, you still, and I get it. I know the intensity of these things and the intensity of the middle flesh stuff and the relationship stuff. And it's not, this is not like quick, easy band-aid fix to go away. But I'm telling you what, the answer where that flesh is, it is a simple answer of walking in the Spirit. Even if it means, Lord, show me how to walk in the Spirit in the face of this middle flesh. Hatred, anger, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Lord, show me. Give me wisdom. And when you do give me wisdom, I know what it's going to sound like. It's going to be pure. It's going to be peaceable. It's going to be gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. No partiality, no hypocrisy. It'll witness to the Spirit on the inside of me. Praise God. So understand that. All I'm saying again is just be sure to call out flesh and declare the word of God and say, Lord, no, I want to be free from that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.